Okay, gang, it's time for Puck Off. Yeah, Joe Bartnick, what's happening?
Frazier, we are so privileged this week, a very special early edition because of some things that have to happen with Johnny Bench this week. So we're taping an early Monday edition. So for the special Martin Luther King Day, who better to get than our official goon of the Puck Off podcast? It in his castle, the one and only Earl Skakel.
There he is.
It's an honor.
Wow, man.
With my hundreds of ball hockey trophies.
You know, I got to tell you, you got to be the king of ball hockey.
Well, I have a really hard shot. It's a very, very hard shot. So some of the goalies in ball hockey aren't, you know, pro level, let's just say.
You got enough trophies to play chess.
You're the Al Iafredi of the Southern California Tennis Court Ball Hockey Association.
Well, it's... you know, this league is kind of somewhat serious when you tell people it's called SoCal Street Hockey, and there's a league, a rink out in Garden Grove, and that's where we play. And they have tournaments in Vegas where teams from Canada come down. And These are like pro ball hockey teams.
Right.
You know, like I'd be the smallest guy on the team.
Well, these guys are serious.
I think in Canada they do have a pro ball hockey circuit. So it's... you know, don't be fooled by ball hockey.
Oh, I'm not at all. It's absolutely for real. And you've been playing forever.
I've been playing since 88 in this one league. And it's, you know, Robitaille every now and then will come out and mess around with
really?
Us. Really? Not often, but he will. And right now...
is he faster on shoes than he is on skates?
It's amazing to watch an NHL player play ball hockey. Unbelievable. Like, we have one guy who plays on the Detroit Red Wings now.
What's his name?
Mitch Callahan.
Oh, Callahan.
And he's really good. But to see him play ball hockey is, and he's very competitive. Like, one game last summer, some guy tried to fight him, and he didn't know who Mitch was. And Mitch just looked at him and goes, "Listen, I'm on a plane tomorrow, but I'll kill you today."
Yeah, that would have been a mistake.
His thighs are just massive, and just, you know, I took the ball from him once, and I was so scared that he's going to slash me. I'm like, "Hey, man, you can have it if you want it."
Well, you mentioned Robitaille. I played in a charity softball game with him one time, and he was rounding second base and ran into me on purpose as a goof, just lightly. I went flying.
Yeah.
He's a solid. Those guys are.
And he's not even one of the more muscular, even when he was, you know, in his prime playing. You know, you run into a guy like, say, Scott Stevens, you might still be down.
Your car runs into Scott Stevens and you'd still be down.
Yeah. To me, the greatest open ice checker ever.
Every time we do the special, anytime we ever do our favorite guys, our all-star teams, or this or that in this 3 years now running the show, me and Frazier always have Scott Stevens.
Scott Stevens,
we always
awesome.
Have Scott Stevens.
He would line people up.
Yeah.
He would hurt people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just the best. As well as being a great street hockey player and having the world's largest collection of goon sweaters, which we've mentioned many times.
I love that. That's such a cool thing.
And being our official goon expert, you're also one of the number one Kings fans in the world.
And I've been a long time Kings fan.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's why I give you the title of greatest Kings fan on earth. Kopitar, you were, before we started hitting record, you were not as anxious to give him $80 million as I was. Your thoughts?
Well, in the salary cap world, that's just a lot of money to give to one guy. It's and they have some contracts coming up next. At the end of next season, that, you know, Toffoli, you know, now he's making the league minimum, but, you know, he'll be making five times that.
Oh, yeah.
Toffoli's at the minimum?
Well, the rookie.
His rookie $900,000. Okay. Wow. So he's at least a $6 million guy, in my opinion.
At the minimum four.
Yeah. Minimum.
Dude, Haglund's making four. We'll get to him in a second. But
if he's got Kopitar's agent, who I know from ball hockey.
Oh, is that right?
He used to play ball hockey with us in Beverly Hills.
Ah.
Yeah, his
of course, the agents.
Kopitar's guy doesn't go down to Garden Grove.
Yeah. The agents have their
but he would,
restrictions.
His name is Pat Brisson, and he's Crosby's agent.
Pat's my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I go way back with Pat.
We would play full checking hockey in this grade school yard, and it freaked him out too much. He's like, someone's going to get hurt out of here.
Oh, Brisson's got to spend all that money. He doesn't want to get hurt.
It's Luke's old agent, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's, I think he's Sidney Crosby's agent, too.
Evgeny Malkin's agent.
Yeah, I mean,
he's agent to the stars. Well, I didn't know that Toffoli was that cheap. That may very well.
That's going to change.
And Pearson is, he's on the same deal. And
well, I thought they made a mistake, and we've talked about this on our show, but we can talk about it again with you. I thought they made a big mistake. They kind of they were handing out nice 3-year contracts this summer to guys of the Nolan Clifford, Trevor Lewis ilk. And I've never been a big. I've said many times. I think third and fourth liners should live in a condo near the rink. I've never been one to. You're on the third line. You shouldn't be guaranteed a job. I would ship all those guys out to keep. I would make sure to me, Toffoli is right after. I think to me, he's the number two guy after Kopitar that you need to keep of any, even over Carter because he's younger. Toffoli's amazing.
Well, Kopitar's what, 29?
He might be a little younger.
I think he's like 27.
He's been with he's like Kobe Bryant, like where he started so young, he just seems old.
Yeah, well, he's actually, I think he's been in the year 10. In the league 10 years. I think he's like 27, 28.
And it's a 10-year contract.
Right.
Well, I think Dave Taylor drafted him just to show you how long he's been with the Kings. You know, I think Taylor, who doesn't get really the credit for the building blocks, he drafted quick.
Right.
I think Dustin Brown. So thank you, Stitch Taylor.
I mean, I always a big fan of Dusty Brown. He's even my daughter's favorite, but Dusty's got to go.
He just doesn't.
He just makes too much money.
Yeah, now you got to start.
Well, and his output hasn't been
great. Yeah, I mean, he brings a lot to the table.
I think he does, yeah. I'm not knocking him. I think he's a great player. But output-wise,
I think
slowed
he makes
down.
Four-ish.
I thought he makes like six, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's up there for a guy who's a third liner, you know. And
for a third liner who's not even really producing too much anymore. I mean, a couple years ago, his heart and soul were worth it. I mean, now it's really kind of Kopitar's team, Dowdy's team. They really kind of took charge of the leadership on the team. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not playing cards. But it seems on ice, it seems like Kopitar is like the leader.
It's just tough because you look at the core of the team that won two out of the last four cups. Williams is gone. Voinov's gone. Trade Brown. You know, that's your captain from two Stanley Cups.
I love Brown. I just see the writing on the wall. I didn't know Toffoli. I guess I should have assumed Toffoli is that cheap because I think you need to keep Luch as well.
Well, that's another.
Luch has played. He got his legs underneath him. He overcame his tragedy this summer, and he's playing. He threw a pass to Toffoli that was marvelous on Saturday.
Yeah, his passing's great, and he's delivered on what everyone hoped he would.
Oh, he's great, but he's going to want. A 4 or 5 year deal, $6-7 million a year. And it's like, you can't have, Quick makes a lot. Dowdy makes a lot. Kopitar.
Here's what the LA Times says. It says the Kings will be paying big bucks to several players who figured to be past their prime in their mid to late 30s.
Yeah. It's like, but this roster's made to win the next maybe 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're going to be in big trouble. But, you know, you can't. You know, it's like, what do you do? It's like, is it worth it to win maybe one? I mean, they're the odds-on favorite right now, I think.
Well,
them
in Chicago. I think Chicago is insane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
11 straight wins, guys.
But Chicago's done it, too, where it's basically two great players, you know, and, Keith.
Chicago has four drop-dead Hall of Famers and a solid goaltender. Solid goal. I think Quickie might outreach on save-by-save ridiculousness than Crawford, but Crawford has been so solid, although Darling saved his bacon last year against the St. Louis Blues in that series.
Yep.
This might be Crawford's best year. I watched a lot of those games. I thought they'd miss Saad. Panarin came in. I knew Anisimov was the number two center that they needed. Anisimov has played amazing.
Panarin has really played well.
And even now they got Van Riemsdyk's playing. playing. They're getting their D's rounding in the shape. I mean,
the only thing that bugs me about him, they sent Bickle down again.
Yeah,
well, he's my all-time favorite.
He's like kind of like their Dustin Brown, where he makes a lot of money. He doesn't really
produce. That is just. I mean, I you know
he hasn't really produced this.
Bickle had one. Bickle had a good year in a playoff series. I mean, he's not Dustin. I'm not going to insult.
Well, now he's an ice.
I'm not going to insult Dustin Brown.
But if the Kings win the cup this year and Lucic has a big year doing it, it's like, you know, he's going to ask for the moon.
Right. And I think that he would stay. I think he would take a hometown. I think he would take a little bit of a hometown discount. I mean, you just got to keep you got to let all these guys go. Like, you know, if they win, Gabrick has to go. Gabrick is now, he's water skiing on the Kings. You know, like, he's not as Toffoli has really stepped in and taken a lot of the scoring from, you know, like, I mean, I think King coming back has really helped that team too. King was missing at the beginning. King does a lot that, you know, like, you don't need a lot of guys with King around either. I mean, King's really kind of taken Dusty a little bit, you know, away. They don't need Dusty as much either.
But even he makes a lot of money.
I thought King is just as King's as old as Nolan. Did he get in on that? Those bad deals this summer. I didn't see King got picked up. I didn't see King sign that deal.
I mean, we might have to sign his brother DJ just to round out the roster.
Oh, is he really DJ King's brother? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
One of the last true goons in the league.
Well, that's what I thought was nice about Luch. The gripe against Luch was always he never fought the true goons. And then he gave Brandon Bolig an ass beating the other week. And Bolig is an old school goon. Like, he has no value other than to come out 3 minutes a game and get kicked in the head a couple times.
Well, I mean, the days of the true goon are over, but John Scott.
Did you see that, though?
He's making the All-Star team.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that, too.
Well,
now the NHL's trying to discourage it.
They sent him to Canada. They sent him to Montreal.
Yeah.
And he's on the St. John Ice Caps, so he can't play unless he's on an NHL roster.
Right.
Yeah,
so
in the NHL.
Yes, so that's what they did.
I could see the NHL.
Yeah, that was their move, man.
Just trade him to someone.
And I think that's what happened.
Because they have to put him in the game if he's right. Like...
But I think...
Come on, we want him in the game.
Well, I think both people... I don't know if I'm ruining a Twitter segment for Johnny Bench, but someone tweeted at me, how do you think of the John Scott? What do you think about the situation? And I just said, the NHL was foolish to let it go that far, but John Scott did not handle it properly. If he would have said, this is such an honor, but I shouldn't play in the game, but I'd love to go and bring my family, it would be such a nice story and everyone would be laughing about it. But he had to pretend that he was a real player and kind of put it in their face, and then they're like, you're not playing, dude. Whereas if he just would have been like, it's an honor, I think it's fun, the fans, but I don't want to play, let that be up to the guys, then
I think they should have let him play.
You know, you never know. He might not be horrible. I mean, he's just never been given the odds are he's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
3-on-3, a lot of extra room out there.
That's going to expose him even more.
Yeah.
No, because I think there's a really good chance he's so clumsy and awful that he would fall and break Kopitar's leg by accident. I mean, I don't think you want him anywhere near. I hate John Scott. I don't want him anywhere near a rink, let alone near the NHL, let alone All-Stars. I mean, what if he takes a bad slap shot and hits, like, you know, someone in the head? He could hit someone in the head. Dude, he can't hit the net. He can't hit the ocean from the beach.
Well, the only reason I was saying let him play is I like the fact that the fans can weigh in.
That could be dangerous when you have guys like me in charge of picking the Ross.
Well, yeah. True. But the fans are supposed to be involved.
Yeah, and they were. I mean, you know, like I said, I think it's cool that he won the thing. I think it's cool that the joke went that far, and I think the NHL did it wrong. I think the NHL should have said, yeah, John, you can come. You just can't play the game.
There had to be a smarter way to handle the fan voting. There had to have been.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They let it go too far.
But I don't know what you can do. I mean, you can't really tell.
Yeah, if you have open voting.
Vote. Yeah,
it's almost it's open voting. It's like, you know, just doing an open vote for like Batman to play.
Yeah, I'd like to see Batman out there.
Oh, is he eligible?
Yeah, man.
I'm sure Batman would have more be able to play better than John Scott. I don't know. And the thing too about John Scott
is his cape caught in the penalty
box. He's done so many bad things in this league. He's not like the lovable goon. You know, he's not like Stu Grimson or something or any other goon that, you know, that's just like, oh, you know, okay, he's paid his dues. He does charity work. We love the guy. Let him play, you know. John Scott's, you know, he's gone after and beat up, you know, like, you know, guys one third his size. He's, you know, he's bad for the league. If he was just a normal size goon, I would think I'd be way more into it. But I can't even believe they're still talking about. I mean,
yeah, but Johnny's right about the fan thing. If you're going to let him vote, then you got to have some regulations, or you got to put the guy in.
Hey, they didn't think it through. These guys are going to be exhausted, and they didn't think it through enough that there's not enough guys roster spots in general where you're leaving guys that should be in the game at home. Like, I mean, I'm not defending. I mean, Crosby didn't play well enough to make the All-Star. You voted for him.
I did.
But I didn't think he played well. But still, there should be room for Crosby. It shouldn't be that tight.
Yeah,
and,
it's true.
And these guys are going back and forth. They want a little bit of a break. They could have three more forwards on each roster.
I agree with that.
You could have another defenseman where John Scott could have went, but it's so tight that if there was four defensemen, Scott could have had a shift every five shifts and be like, okay, he did get to play. But the fact they made it so tight that he had to play a third of the game, that's what Root.
Well, I get, yeah, you're right on that. Hey, Earl, do you like the 3-on-3 format?
For the overtime or the All-Star game?
Either one.
I will say when it was announced over the summer, that's what they were going to do. I'm like, that's kind of gimmicky, and
that's what I thought too.
I do like it though.
I turned too. I did too. Yeah.
It's very exciting, and it's like pond hockey, and to see like Drew Doughty with all that space, or Malkin, or
it's more fun than I thought it was going to be.
They were just trying to get away from the shootout wins, even though the shootout's exciting. That's gimmicky in itself. So
Penguins haven't figured out, or Evgeny Malkin, you know, my favorite, he hasn't figured out how to play in overtime. He skates around at dipsy-doos for 3 minutes, and then if he makes a bad shot, he's dead tired.
Yeah, you definitely.
You have to have your rush and then change. He stays out there like he's on a power play.
No,
and
it's
then
a different
done.
Format. You got to play it accordingly.
Well, the Kings really do it right. You know, they usually have like Carter and Toffoli out there and Doughty, and they do these great changes where one guy will rag the puck and try and catch the guy coming off the bench. And it usually, I mean, they're really good at 3-on-3.
Hey, it's a big deal. Vancouver's like,
there's a strategy.
Hadn't won an overtime game all year until like this week. And those points all add up.
Oh, that's what hurt the Kings last year, is their overtime losses.
Right, in the shootouts. And you would think they would have been good with Quick and Toffoli and Carter and all the Gaborik.
If they were just .500 last year, they're in the playoffs for sure. And Voinov didn't smack his wife around.
Now, we talked about that every day last year. Yeah. I love the fact they got Shen, who is not Larry Robinson, but he adds some size, some grip back there, and he's not Christian Ehrhoff wearing the skirt. I mean, I think Shen was great, and then LeCavier is awake. He's
LeCavier got a goal last night.
He has two goals in like three games.
Yeah,
I mean, I know he said he's going to retire next year, but I wouldn't be opposed to him coming back next year. He's a great fourth.
Oh, he's
center.
A good yes. Oh, he is.
Well, you talking nice about pickup. Money though? I mean, he's making like
four. He's another, four.
I mean, that's why I said he would never get traded. I thought Philly would have to take money. I thought he was untouchable because who would take his contract?
Well, I think if he were to change, I mean, that was part of the deal where he said, I'm going to retire at the end of the year. And Philly said, well, we'll take 50% of his contract. So if he changed his mind for whatever reason.
Because it's Philly, I have no, I mean, I'm. Who knows? They just lied right to
but I think they would have
right to the Kings' faces. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that at all. But I think it was a great trade for. I actually think it was a good trade for both teams.
Well, the wheel was not going to crack the Kings lineup, and he's good. You know,
he's pretty good. I like the Messer guy better though, or however you pronounce his name.
Oh, Mersch.
Mersch. Yeah,
he needs a little seasoning.
Yeah, he's got a little jump in him. You know, I mean, they moved Andrioff out of there a little bit because he was getting a lot of ice for just losing fights. I know you love the fights
and face-offs,
but to me, like, if you're just going to go out there and lose, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, but now with the roster set up, you're going to need guys like Andrioff and Mersch who are making the minimum. I think they're on two-way contracts.
Yeah. Well,
they got really limited cap space.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Well, what they really did, I mean, it's the arms race, them and the Hawks, because what they really did was they got Nicky Shores, not your third line center now, is Vinny LeCavier. So Nick Shores not going up against the Blackhawks third line, which they just get eaten alive with. You know what I mean? The Tara Vinen line.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You know, so at least now they got LeCavier out there.
Now he's hungry. You know, he wants to go out on top.
Oh, he was character assassinated in Tampa Bay, and then they wouldn't play. How could he not play? It's the Penguins have played awful this year, and that's how bad they've played. The Flyers are garbage. I mean, you take away Simmons and Giroux, they are garbage. Carolina's garbage, and they're all like a point away from the Penguins.
How do you like Hagelin?
I love Hagelin
going to the Pens.
Well, that's a good move.
Perron. I said last week when I wanted Perron's head. Perron was like a special ed kid playing peewee football, going offside every play. He was offside. If Hagelin just doesn't go offsides every rush, he's better than Perron.
Perron got a goal for the Ducks last night.
They can have him. He scored great when we first got him. Like, oh my God, he's the answer to Sid's wing. He hasn't scored since, to quote the great Mike Lang, since the seventh grade picnic. I'm glad Perron's gone. I wouldn't have cared if they waived him for free. Just he's part of the. If you're not part of the answer, you're part of the problem.
How about Clendenning?
I like him better than some of our guys, but he wasn't playing, so whatever. But now the great Derek Pouliot was called up today, so we'll be able to see why we don't have Brandon Saad and why we don't have Ryan Kessler and why we kept this girl instead for his unique pet. You know, he came and run. You know, it's like I got enough weak need defensemen. Enough weak need. Hey, Letang's hurt again already. Uh-oh. Someone looked at him the wrong way. He hurt his wrist.
He's brittle. He's pretty brittle.
He is
pretty
brittle. Oh my God.
He's good in the 3-on. Three format.
Though. Oh yeah. Well, there's no body contact, so he could probably survive it.
He's like Malkin. It's the ice capades. They skate around and look pretty, then they lose the puck and they're too tired to come back, and they leave Flower out to dry.
But you do like the addition of Hagelin?
I absolutely love it. I think that was a great. I think that was a great move. And if he would have came this summer and you didn't see him not play under the underachieving coach of all time, Bruce, I'd have been even happier.
Like, you he think he's still one of the fastest skaters in the league?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, he.
Who do you think the fastest skater is right now?
Grabner, but he's doesn't really play anymore.
Carter's up there for a slightly older guy.
Letang can fly. Letang can fly backwards as fast as almost anyone can fly forwards.
Toffoli is not. If they did a skills competition, he wouldn't be one of the faster guys. But when there's a breakaway, he has an extra gear. Like it's funny to watch him. Like when he sees a chance for a breakaway, he gets faster.
Man, he's got a nose for the goal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you who's playing tomorrow night that I playing the Kings, and I love, and their coach snapped is the great Lindy Ruff.
Oh, I love him
because last week we were making light of they went to New York and had too much fun and didn't get any points in the metro area. Well, then now they're not beating anybody. And they're in the tailspin right now.
Yeah,
and Ruff called them out. I had some people Twitter me like, oh, you know, Lettinen's not is the problem. And, you know, it's Lettinen. They don't play as good. Well, the Emmy lost yesterday. They're in the tailspin. And it's time for Johnny Goudouille to put his foot down. It's time for Patrick Sharp to put his foot down. It's time for Ben and Sagan to get hot again. You know, they're in a free fall. They're in a free fall right now. And that's not the division to free fall in.
Now, does some of that happen because people get off to a fast start? and then they tend to just kind of naturally coast because they got off to such a great start.
It's such a long season.
It's a long season, yeah.
It's an ebb and flow, but I mean, you know, it's the same thing. If, you know, for him to say they're not working hard enough, and what he means is they're not back-checking hard enough because they're always Sagan and Ben and Hemsky, they're always going to work hard enough in the offensive zone.
Sure.
But their defense, I mean, their defense isn't the Blackhawks defense.
And those goal scorers don't like to back-check.
They need to back-check. You need to play defense.
I think that's one reason that Kopitar is valuable.
Oh, I think he's the best two-way center in the league.
Yeah, he plays a defense, and you know, he gets back.
But if he played in like New York or Toronto, Montreal, he'd like be so much more known. But you know, out here, you know, half the league's media is asleep when the Kings are playing. You know, at 7 at night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
well, it's true. Like, yeah, you know, someone true. In Toronto or New York, they're not going to stay up and watch
it. You don't get that coverage.
No, so. But I think he kind of gets his due. Not totally. Oh, if he was a Ranger, he'd be on every Wheaties box in the world. But I think he's known as a great hockey player. You know,
he's a two-way player, too.
Yeah, he gets his due. But you know, like, you know, I mean, that division that you got, you know, there. I mean, Chicago's in first, I believe, as we speak, and then you got St. Louis. Our buddies in Minnesota are starting to slip, and they're not winning games.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
That's your. I mean, Winnipeg's hanging on for dear life.
But they got to trade Byfuglien soon.
Well, now, where do you think everyone would want Byfuglien? Where do you think he would go?
I mean, well, there was a rumor a couple of weeks ago the Kings were interested. But
if the Kings got him,
there's no way you could add that contract.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, the Rangers are always fishing around. Tampa's got Drouin, who they have to get rid of. Yeah. So, like, you know, that'd be a nice salary.
I wouldn't take Drouin if I was Winnipeg.
But, I mean, yeah, if you're Winnipeg, it's a good deal because, you know.
Well, what muddied the waters on Byfuglien is that Hallaback, Hollerback, y'all, he's playing good in net. Because before I thought a goaltender would get you Byfuglien. I was really hoping the Penguins would give up Murray or Yari, and I thought we had a chance. Because, I mean, Bufflin's the one guy that changes everything in the league. I mean, really, he does. If he goes to the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. If he goes to the Islanders are in. Like, any, he goes to the Rangers are instantly like, watch out. Whatever team he goes to, the team is instantly better.
It's a huge pickup for anybody.
Yeah, because he can play D and forward,
yeah.
And he's unmovable.
He's a monster on D. He throws people down with one hand. He clears the crease.
He's 260 pounds.
Yeah, he's a force.
And he scores. He patrols everything. I mean, you know, we love him on this show. But
huge pickup for anybody.
The only guy playing well in Winnipeg right now is Wheeler. And that team looks so good on paper. And
happened to them? They had a great season last year, except in the playoffs.
I can't put
Why
it
did
together?
They drop off?
Because I watch them a lot. I watch them probably. It's probably my third or fourth.
What's
team
your take on why they dropped off?
You know, it's like they don't score as all the same time. When their first line's going good, which is 2/3 of the time, they get no secondary scoring. And then when Shifley and the second line's playing good, then the first line disappears. They never seem to always be in unison, scoring-wise. And on defense, you know, they're just always a little sloppy. They take some bad penalties that last year, I think their goaltending was hot at the right time. Pavlik was hot to maybe kill off some of those bad penalties. And the league, their division got, you know, like last year, Minnesota had to come from nowhere to get in the playoffs. But this year, Colorado's put it together a little bit more than they did the year before. Varlamov's a little bit hotter, and there's just a lot of better than mediocre, but not that good of hockey out there. They're not where they're at.
Yeah, they're kind of
can't say there's so many great teams out there. That's why, because there really isn't that many great teams.
Who do they get if they trade Buff?
That depends where he goes. I think they want at least one roster player and then like probably at least one first round pick and you know, someone like Toffoli. I mean, they're not going to trade Toffoli, but like someone like that, you know.
If I was them, I would try to keep Bufflin, and I would trade Ladd, and I would trade the other young defenseman that they say they can't sign because I haven't seen much.
Myers?
No, Myers is no, it's another guy.
Burmistrov?
Yeah, Burmistrov's a forward, but I would get. They say Bufflin's the most popular guy in the city. He's like the number one guy on the team. I just think you can't replace a Bufflin. I'm sorry. I would keep Bufflin if I was them. And you know, Ladd's old. Ladd, you talking about Kopitar getting too much money. Ladd wants like $8 million. Oh, what the hell has Andrew Ladd ever done to deserve $8 million? Get a team, get swept by the Ducks? I mean, he won a cup 5 years ago, but that was Kane and Taves. I don't know. But, you know, Winnipeg's always one of the teams that I'm always like, it's a Enstrom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Trouba, too. Is,
Trouba. Another... Yeah, and Trouba. Yeah. So both those guys. I'd rather Buffalo than any of them.
Well, I think they have a very small market mentality. So I think the owners and the GM is like, we can't give one guy, you know, Buffalo, you know, God knows what he's going to get. But he'll get it from someone, but probably won't be Winnipeg.
Yeah, see, Trouba's young, but he hasn't lived. He hasn't, I don't think he's grown like he was supposed to.
But the cheaper alternative for a lot of teams is going to be Yandle in New York.
And that is, I just had lunch with my buddy from New York. And I made fun. I'm sorry.
He doesn't like Yandle.
I made fun of him when it happened. He's an absolute skirt. Dude, can you believe they're trying to get rid of him already in New York? They gave away the number one pick and the Duke. And Duclair, oh my, dude, Duclair is just incredible.
He's killing it. They got a couple great rookies.
Yeah, I mean, Duclair is just I could see Duclair in the juniors last year. I'm like, I was afraid of him on the Rangers. I was afraid of him.
Well, you know, Yandle.
If Winnipeg takes Yandle, I give Paul Maurice until next. He won't be there next Christmas. Because that whole team will fold.
But, I mean, if he goes to the Rangers, Buffalo, you're going to look at a package of, like, at least Hayes, Kreider, and a first-round pick.
Yeah, you're going to have to send some guys.
It's going
to
be something of that nature.
Yeah. Speaking of underachievement, the Rangers have really fallen on just not playing well.
They have, haven't they?
Right now. And it was funny because Kreider got two yesterday. Every time I watch the game, Kreider scores, like, two goals. He only has like 9 on the season. When I thought he had like 15, 17.
And you know who got a hat trick in that game? Former King, Justin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's I kind of in my heart wanted the Kings to keep him, but it just, you know, you can't keep everyone.
Can't keep everyone. Still a goal scorer, though.
Oh, he's game 7 in playoffs in general. He could push Washington to the top.
What do you think about the East? Who do you think about the East? Since
I
haven't talked to you in a long time.
You know, it's a lot of middle of the pack teams. So it depends on after the trade deadline. I could answer that question better. If Bufflin goes to Tampa, New York, they become instant. I like the Islanders.
I've always liked the Islanders. They're missing
Boychuk and what's the other
Harmonic.
But they're going to have to trade him, you know.
Whatever his problem is in Winnipeg that he has to get to, I would say we're going to move your family to New York. Why does he have to? What's the problem? Because that's why Hamonic, because you can't trade him because they want equal value. Hamonic's their number one defenseman, and he only makes $4 million a year for the next 3 years.
I mean,
he was an underrated guy. I love him. Hamonic is a great defenseman, but he's not. But he only makes $4 million a year.
Well, there's rumors of a Nugent Hopkins for Hamonic deal, you know, floating around out there. That'd be if they got Nugent Hopkins, you know, he's, you know, him and not Tavares.
I don't know why Edmonton why they haven't just got rid of him. The only guys the guy I think is amazing is Drysdale. I love Drysdale. I mean, but I would just keep him. Taylor Hall's come into his own. And you know, and McDavid.
Is McDavid playing again? Is he back? Still not back?
I think they said February.
He's not coming back till after the All-Star game.
But, I mean, their problem is that you got all these number one picks, but they just drafted offensive forwards. Like, the Kings did it as good as you could. Drafted quick, Dowdy, and they build from the back out. And that's how you do, and Kopitar. Yeah. So you,
because like, building all offense isn't going to get it done.
I mean, it makes you a fun team to watch, but you're going to lose 7 to, you know, 5.
I mean, I would give him Nugent or Eberle for Bufflin. That would be a good
one. Yeah, I mean, Edmonton's a great team to trade with because they need defense. And well, they have goaltending now with Talbot. But
and they have some potential scorers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You need a. They need a defenseman. And
they
and,
need. They need. They desperately need a number one defenseman, and that's exactly what they. They got a little better on defense this summer. They got some, at least. They got some guys like
Sakara
that can at least defend some. So someone's not going to run Taylor. They're going to just run. You know, run McDavid in the wall. You know, Griba has a little grit. You know, it's like
they have Gatsik. They can dust him off. And
yeah.
Like, now, on these rebuilding teams like Edmonton and Toronto, who do you see moving up quickest?
Well, I think Toronto has the better management team in place. I mean, you look at who they have guiding the ship. It's Lou Lamoriello, Shanahan, and Mike Babcock. In Edmonton, it just seems they have Shirelli, the old Boston GM, but you know he's got a lot of slop to clean up.
Let me tell you something. No one loves Shanahan more than me as a player, but he's almost Isaiah Thomas when it comes to his post. I mean, he was awful with the NHL. And then if he didn't hire, you know, if he didn't get Lou Lamoriello, I mean, he was looking terrible the last 2 years in Toronto. I mean, they just outpaid everyone for Babcock.
I mean, Toronto's like how the Clippers used to be in like the late 80s. They're just so bad. It's going to.
But Komarov is good. They have some guys that can play. Komarov is good.
Nylander, he'll be good.
And Babcock will probably get him going.
I think it might take
a couple years.
I the guy on the lookout now, I think, I mean, the team that's really struggling now is Montreal.
Yeah, what's going on there, guys?
They miss Carey Price so much. And not only do they miss your buddy Ben Scrivens, you know, he couldn't stop a beach ball.
No, the professor.
Yeah.
I love him, but, you know.
I mean,
his wife got better shots.
When he's your answer, you're in a problem. Condom just cooled off. I think they miss Carey Price in the room. There's a leadership vacuum in there,
probably,
too, as well. And I feel bad because, I mean, you know, Mike Therrien's my guy, but Therrien might be on the, I don't know.
Well, there's another team that got off to a fantastic start and then just fizzled.
But I think also Subban has got a lot of pressure on him. You know, like, at least with the Kings where you have Doughty. There's some relief for him and Muzzin and Martinez to a degree, whereas the Montreal, it's pretty much all Subban.
I actually think that Markov and Emelin and Boyu, I think those guys are actually probably better on defense as a unit than the Kings. Actually, I like Muzzin, but you got the Mick brothers. They're not they're not that good. I hate Erhoff.
Erhoff's good seventh guy. Like
he's a good seventh. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the intermission.
McBain.
Interview.
I mean, they have like, you know, McBain, Erhoff are great sixth, seventh. I'm comfortable with them on their bottom third.
No, I mean, I love Muzzin. Okay. I think Muzzin. I'm just saying Markov, Emelin. Boy, I mean, Montreal does not have chopped liver on the blue line.
But I mean, I think offensively, there's so much pressure on Subban to be, all right, go get us the goals.
Oh, yeah, because, and that's what happened at the beginning of the year. Everyone, all their pluggers, all their plungers were scoring goals. All the Jabroni third and fourth line guys like Lars Eller and
Weiss.
Flynn and Dale Weiss. We love Dale Weiss, but I mean, he literally was lighting the world on fire. And then it's like, okay, well, now who's really going to score? And you really only have Pacioretty and Gallagher who are really going to, you know, when push comes to shove, Weiss cooled off and, you know, those other guys just cooled off.
So if they get Price back, do they start winning again?
Oh, he's better than – he's an upgrade.
Great player, yeah.
But, you know, their GM, I don't know. That John Scott trade is, like, so puzzling.
Wow.
Like, why would you trade?
I think that's a mistake.
Why do you know any of the two guys that they
influence.
Did?
I knew Tenorti. Like,
oh yeah, well Tenorti's good. I mean, Tenorti is what they need too. An edgy guy that can throw.
They wouldn't just make that move to keep him out of the All-Star game.
Well, who knows?
Well, you talk about two teams that owe the league a little. You know, Arizona, because I think the league still pays all their salaries. And then Montreal, who never has a bad schedule for the last 100 years. So
yeah.
But if any two teams can get a phone call from Bettman that they have to answer, it's Montreal and Arizona.
Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned Arizona. They're one of the two teams, I think, that have surprised everybody. Florida.
Well, they're, I mean, Arizona's good. I mean, yeah.
Florida's in a little bit of a waiver now. Last time we spoke, they were winning. They had won 11 in a row, and everything's going great. And then, of course, Matt Hendricks, that rat bastard for Edmonton, he injured Ekblad, and now Ekblad hasn't played since.
And they dropped a couple. And,
yeah, they
still in first place, though.
Yeah, still in first place, but you know they were up by like 9 or 10 points. Now they're creeping. You need Ekblad. I mean, Ekblad's.
And you know who's creeping up on him?
Norris Trophy candidate, and he's 20 years old.
You know who's creeping up on him, Johnny? Those Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, Florida or Detroit could be a good destination for Buffalo. You know, they've got young guys.
Get him in Detroit.
I would say more Florida because I think they're willing to. Detroit's semi-rebuilding to a degree. I think Florida would be, here's a couple of young guys. Buffalo puts us at the top.
I see Florida being a little bit more knee-jerk, quick to make the trade. Yeah. I don't know who, but have more young, unknown guys. I'd have to see both their minor league systems. Because I don't know who you give up on Detroit's roster to get them.
Now, do you think that happens before the trade deadline, or do you think it happens after the season?
Well, I think Winnipeg will trade him probably at 11:59 on the deadline deal.
So you think Buff could go?
If they want to maximize you get a team like Florida and Detroit bidding against each other, then the Rangers get in, maybe Tampa, you know, floats Drouin out there, and you know.
So this could happen soon.
I think that when is the trading deadline?
February 29th. It's leap year.
So
an extra day.
Next couple of weeks.
It's going to be. But a lot of teams now that last couple of years have made deals early February just to.
Oh, yeah. The trade deadline has been a snooze the last couple of years.
Because the big deals happened like 2-3 weeks before it.
Well, I love the way the Kings picked up Gabrick. Who's not really.
Won him a cup.
Yeah, it really did, didn't it? That was perfect timing.
I'll tell you another team that could, depending on what they feel, who is kind of shockingly playing good hockey, is not shockingly, but is the Boston Bruins.
Bruins surprised everyone.
The Bruins are now in the playoff picture. Krejci's coming back. They survived him coming back. The shocker of all is every time I watch him, Char is a minus.
He's slowing down.
Char is way slow now. But they'll probably keep him around. I don't think he'll go, but that's a team that, I mean, you talk about it, you go out and get a Buffalo or an Andrew Ladd. They go out and get
Ladd. They could use Ladd.
Ladd would be a great pickup for them.
Yep.
They have a lot of young kids that are playing pretty good hockey right now. And, you know, Rask could steal a series. Easily Rask could steal a series.
He's a good goaltender, man.
Can you imagine Chara on the point and Buffalo up front? Like
a Buffalo playing forward.
Be a nightmare.
It would, wouldn't it?
Or vice versa. Char sometimes will play.
In front of the net.
And Buffalo blasting. What would you do?
And the two of those guys in the offseason basketball league would kill you.
Get them on the Comedy Store squad. Yeah.
love Buff. Just love. You know, the. Well, that's like, you know, I think another team that should be looked at is the San Jose Sharks. Because I think if they fall a little bit, some of those guys can be had.
I mean, Marlowe's, I think, floated it out there.
Marlowe wants out. Which is funny because he never did for 10 years when they tried to get rid of him. And now,
well, I know Lombardi would have a boner to get him, but they're not going to trade him to the Kings.
No.
No.
I still think the Kings, I thought the whole time, were Paul Martin away. If Martin would have came here instead of San Jose, not that the Kings would have a better record because they're still in first place by 10 points. But I think that's what the Kings needed was some guy to eat up 25 minutes on the blue line and not hurt you ever. What? Yeah, Martin could be a little more physical than he is, but as me on the skirt alert all the time, I'll take Martin.
Well, I know Lombardi really loves Keith Yandel, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Talk about a skirt alert.
Right. I don't know how the Kings will make it work, because
I
Now,
they just have a lot of room to move.
No one hates him as much. Well. Hate's a big word. I mean, I reserve hate for Giroux, but
or John Scott.
Yeah. Because I don't like Scott. I don't like Scott. I don't like people that injure people. Oh, I'll tell you, hate. He's back in the league right now. He just got activated. Rafa Torres.
Oh,
let's all chip in. Everyone in puck off. Let's all chip in and put a bounty on his knees. Someone go out there and rip his other ACL out before he does it to someone on your team. Oh, what a pathetic. I hate Rafa Torres.
He's back.
I mean,
our goon expert, but he's
not even a goon. No, I really don't. Yeah, I don't like dirty players. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have 10 John Scotts than 10 Rafi Torres. You know, he goes to guys' knees, headshots. I mean, he might have cost the Kings that middle cup when he cheap shot at Jarrett Stoll.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, what do you mean if they had Stoll, they would have won the cup? You guys know those third, fourth line guys
every
win
piece
you the cup.
Counts.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Why do you think the Penguins haven't got past the Eastern Conference Finals since the cup? That's who wins you cups.
Yep, that's a good point.
Because every team, it's like fantasy football. You know, everyone's going to have a good quarterback and receiver, but it's who has the best kicker that'll probably win you the league. Same thing in real life hockey.
Yeah, those role players are important.
You know, it's like this year the Kings. Kopitar will play good. Quick will play great. But it's how McNabb does on the second pairing defense and how, Clifford or Nolan play on the fourth line.
Yeah. What do you think of your arch rivals, the South? What do you think of the Ducks?
Well, I mean, they got to get Getzlaff pumping. Three goals ain't
cutting. He just got benched the other night.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
I think he saved Barbecue's job when he came out and said, it's not the coach, we all got to play better. I really think he saved his job.
Well, he's particularly having an off year. What do you think that is?
It's he's so good. I mean,
he's a great player.
My GM floated. He came in out of shape, which I think is ridiculous. He has too much pride.
He's like a bigger version of Carter. You know, he's like fast. He's great hands, great shot. But, you know, some years you just don't, you know.
I think he's cut from a different. I think they're cut from different. I like Jeff Carter. But I think Carter's like an offensive guy that plays with some grit. I think Getzlaff's like Superman. I think he's like just. I think he's just an animal that has good offensive skills.
So what's he having? Just an off.
You know, you can't have a good year every year, I guess. I mean,
other than if Crosby wasn't so awful, it would be the biggest story in the league of how awful Getzlaff's played. You know what I mean? Like, if Sid wasn't that bad, he would have been the biggest story of how you go into Christmas with like one empty netter.
Now, does he come on? Does he start playing? And do the Ducks start coming on or no?
Well, he better, because they don't have a real deep bottom six. You know, they don't have a Lecavalier or, you know, they're pretty thin on the bottom six. So if their top six isn't cutting the mustard.
They really miss Bolesky and Palmieri. Like, I didn't think those guys were, you know, that good, but they really miss them. And look how good. I mean, look how Palmieri's lighting it up in New Jersey. So, what do I know?
So you think
Bolesky's playing good for the Bruins.
But still, what Earl said a minute ago, they're big and fast, and they still seem very talented. Something's wrong there.
Oh, they'll make a deal at the deadline to get in. You know, who knows? They got a decent enough farm system where they can make a play for Buffalo. You know, that'd be an interesting, they need something, because if they go into the playoffs with this roster,
I think they have enough defensemen, though. I think they need something up. They need help up front. I mean, and Raquel's playing okay. They got some guys playing okay. It's like the Penguins. If Crosby doesn't do anything, I don't care how good everybody else is. They're not going to win. The Ducks, it doesn't. I mean, they could get Buffalo. If Getzlaff's a -3 every game, they're not going to win anything.
But, I mean, they need some more top-end talent. I mean,
they have David Perron.
But he's a good. But that's a guy who shoot the cup, like on a third, fourth line. Like he gets in the goalies.
There's a reason.
You know, he looked good in that game against the Kings.
There's a reason why David Perron has gone to four teams in 4 years.
Oh, it's the same thing. With Chris Stewart. I mean, that guy's a great power forward, but he's bouncing around more than a Super Bowl. I mean,
Good yeah, fight. And he's finally kind of woke. He's, at least he's getting his nails dirty, and at least getting his nails dirty in Anaheim and taking on some fights and hitting some people. I mean, he treated Buffalo as a free the Ice Capades.
He had a good fight last night against Shen. Great yeah. shift. Where
well, he ran somebody over too.
Martinez hit him with a beautiful open ice check, and then Martinez went in the corner to get the puck, and you just see Stewart take about 20 strides. How it wasn't charging, I'll never know. And then Shen kind of slid over, and you could see him go, you know.
That's actually a great segue for our awards segment, which yeah, is coming up next. Hey, everybody, this is Joe from Puck Off, and remember, for all your pipe smoking needs and your cigar needs and all your smoking needs, legally, of course, you got to go to Uhles.com. That's Uhles.com. They're right in the heart of Milwaukee. They're the coolest people. They got the best. Johnny, don't they have the best cigars? Oh, yeah. Absolutely fresh.
Man, I love the lighter. They gave me one of those classic custom lighters.
Yeah, it's the best. They're great people. And if you're in the Midwest, the old Norris Division, go check them out. Have a cigar. Have a little pop of whiskey in the smoke room. It's a really great place right there in the heart of Wisconsin at 11 heart of Milwaukee at 114 West Wisconsin Avenue. All right, everybody. Now here's the awards.
Here we go.
First of all, I found out my problem on Fantasy Yahoo, and I'm in 10th place.
What?
Yes, I didn't check the winner leaderboard, but I'm coming for everybody. I'm coming for everybody. Johnny, do you know where you're at?
No.
You must be beneath me.
That's not much. If I'm saying
in 10th,
much.
But I found out that I didn't lose too much. Everyone was already in that I wanted to be in, so I didn't really lose out too much. I knew I set a good lineup when it got screwed up. All right. For the year, there was no Claude Lemieux. There was no Mario Lemieux. For the dirt bag of the week.
I already got it. He's back in the league, Rafi Torres.
There you go.
He didn't even have to do anything. I'm just going to give it to him.
All right.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, you can't find a bigger piece of go. Can you swear on this?
I mean, say that word.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. You're a guest. We try to keep it clean, but you know, you have to swear when you invoke Rafi Torres' name.
You do.
Well, he just goes for knees. He goes for headshots. I mean, but the league lets him get away with it.
Yeah, he's. I'm telling you,
he could win that award every week.
John Scott, that's one thing John Scott could do. You want me to be on my good side, Mr. Scott? Just go two hand cross check Rafi Torres in the head, paralyze him. Rafi Torres is a piece of crap. All right, but the dirt bag that I was going to give it to was that Tim Peel, the referee, for falling. And then skating, going like across the ice, like halfway across the ice, and taking out young David Warshawski's knees. Guy flipped over and smashed his head on the ice, and the Penguins 5-0 win yesterday. Did you see that? Did that make the blooper real?
Wow. I did. It's unintended, but an unfortunate consequence of a ref.
Yeah, but just say, hey, I'm behind. Like, you know,
maybe he did.
I don't know.
Heads up.
Tim Peel, take some skating lessons. All right.
Gotta go with Raf, though.
Oh, yeah.
So far, Raf wins.
Yeah, you know, Raf, yeah. I mean, unless Tim Peel shot Warshawski on the bench, I would think I would take him. All right. Skirt of the week. Goes to our buddy, and it's King's Day, but he was a big skirt this week. Our buddy, Jake Muzzin, skirt of the week. Did you watch the game Saturday against Ottawa?
I did. What?
Pageau wore him like a $3 suit. Just knocked him over and took the puck from him, just like Muzzin. Come on, Jake.
Come on, Jake.
Well, you know, he had a rough game. You know, they had a rough third period.
It happens.
That's how you get. I don't just play. You know, we play the. You know, we don't just give the people we don't like.
Yep.
Here you go. Here's one you will like. Oh, well, once again, I forgot to write. The Bobby Probert Award went to Dubinsky.
Yeah.
Had another fight and a goal in the same game.
Come on, Dubinsky.
This week. I didn't write it down, but I remember it.
I love Dubinsky.
Yeah. He's a hated man in Pittsburgh, but he plays hard. I'll take him on my team any day.
Yeah. He's probably happy playing for Tortorella again, you know?
Oh, yeah, because Tortorella agrees with all that sort of thing. Tortorella's defense, just go injure the star player. Don't actually play defense. I'm actually going to be rooting against the Americans at the World Cup next year because Tortorella's the coach.
Wow.
I like his press conferences. They're the best, especially after they lose. He gets real. He doesn't have Larry Brooks agitating him anymore, but.
But he gets animated.
You know.
Well, I just, you know, it's just the way he just, you know, no one whines more than him. He says, I know Crosby's a whiner, but as an organization, the Penguins don't whine. No one whines. I've never seen the coach for the Penguins ever whine once compared to Tortorella.
But he did start that massive brawl in the Devils-Rangers series.
Oh, yeah.
When the Devils had named their lineup first and then...
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah.
And then he had Stu Bickel take a draw. Stu Bickel hasn't taken a faceoff since, like, sixth grade.
Then he actually charged, and then when he was in Vancouver, remember,
he went in the
charged
room,
the Calgary
man.
Locker
yeah,
room.
I
didn't take it. He's that kind of like old school it. John Brophy, you know, bitter, mean.
He
didn't get that far charging their locker room.
Yeah, and he won a cup in 2004.
Yeah. He needed to take a break and then come torch. Back and learn something. But that's okay. The save of the week. Save me. Which you always love because, you know, we have it's sponsored by Cinderella's. Somebody say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The great Steady Freddie Corey.
Yeah.
Great song, man.
Great. Because we're narrowing it down from now on, only a few here. We have the great Tuukka Rask on Holland of Toronto when he dives back and makes the big save. Tuukka Rask, a great save. For the player save, we have number 92 of Nashville with the big save on Zucker from Minnesota had three for a nickel and couldn't get any. Finally got one past Rene. But then number 92 came in and swooped and saved the day. I think it was Johansson, but in my mind's eye, everyone's named Johansson is number 92, so I don't want to say it was Johansson. The great Cam Talbot with the glove on Brody. Did you see that save?
Yeah.
That I think that was the save of the week. That sick behind-the-back pass from Monahan at Calgary, right on the tape of Brody. Brody just fires a wicked wrister, and Talbot with the glove says no.
Nice. Talbot's he's going to have to make a lot of great saves in the next couple of years. Yeah. Got a feel for him.
Yeah.
And the great Bobby Lou on Stallman. Stallman threw a beautiful pass. Tyler Johnson deflected it coming across. And then Bobby Lou dove back to save. Like, it beat him, but he dove back to save it.
He still got it.
Yeah.
So those are your saves.
I'm going with Talbot.
All righty. And now for Goon of the Week.
TNT.
the goon. We have Earl pick.
Earl
this
gets
one.
To pick the goon of the week.
Shen of the Flyers absolutely ran the little midget Tory Krug, and then answered to Miller on Boston. Miller beat his head in, which was nice to see.
King draft pick.
We have the great Adam Lare just absolutely bowling over daylight savings time James Neal. Emelin of Montreal crushing Stastny of St. Louis, then answering to Peter Angelo, and it was a great fight. Then we have Zajac, who never drops the gloves, versus Richardson. We have to throw in the guys that don't know. We have a White of Philly, just a jerk off, elbowing Jerko of the Detroit Red Wings, just an absolute flyer s cheap shot, just BS, just in the Rafi Torres.
That could
zone.
Have been the dirt bag.
Yeah, it could have been a dirt. I mean, it's what you know. We can always give White a dirt bag. He's a complete Philly jabroni. Then we have Grabowski of the Islanders. Which is weird, we didn't have any Islanders this week. We always usually have a Clutter,
usually
Buck or Matt Martin. Absolutely, with the weakest 5-minute boarding call I've ever seen on Henrik Sedin, and now Sedin's out to the All-Star game. I've never seen a lighter 5-minute major hit in my life.
It's a new era, man. New era.
I think we know where we're going to go here, though. We have Mr. McNabb absolutely destroying Vatanen last night and then answering to Patrick Maroon.
See, that's what I didn't like about that whole thing last night.
It was a clean hit.
It's like a dirty hit. Okay, I get it. But, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ, it was a clean hit. If you're going to have a fight for every clean hit, it's going to be like the Octagon.
Right.
And I didn't like how Stewart, in the same game, Chris Stewart, you know, gets a clean hit from Martinez. It wasn't a cheap shot. It was just an open ice hit. And, like, you can't take a clean hit. And then Shin's got to, you know, step in for Martinez because he's not really a fighter.
That game got a little chippy.
I liked it. And then Shin had another nice borderline after the whistle. But the Anaheim player was still controlling the puck like the whistle was still going. You know, so Shin just popped him.
Oh, yeah. The old confused. And then it was great because you could flip back and forth if you lived in L.A. between Ducks announcers and Kings announcers. And I always loved Bob Miller. But I always like to, but just to flip over if there's a questionable play, and the Anaheim guys did not like that.
Hear the other side of the coin. Yeah,
Brian Hayward is the worst announcer. He's such a homer. Like, you know, when Stu Grimson was on the Ducks, it was like, oh, he's great. He's, you know, got a heart of a warrior. But then when he was on the Kings, cheap-shotting Ducks, he's like, you got to get this guy out of the league. He's out of control. You know?
Stu Grimson is literally a former Red Wing,
Grim Reaper. Loved him.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper. He's like the argument for fighting because he's a lawyer. Like, he's the one guy that concussions didn't affect.
Well, it's still
early.
You're gonna lose a case and you're gonna blame concussions. Well, there is no tweets this week. But please remember,
who do we pick for the good?
But please always remember to check out the Pro Hockey News, your best source for hockey news all around the world for all the leagues that only Earl Skakel has T-shirts from or jerseys from, I should say.
Check out the LNAH, the League of North American Hockey. If you still like fighting, that's the league to go to.
Wow. All right. That's the top fighting league right now?
Oh, but it's not a league that comes close. It's like...
Do we get a tour of the Goon Jersey
You can.
Absolutely. But before we leave, so we have a couple more minutes, just a couple minutes. Let's get everyone's picks for who's your MVP so far this year, Earl?
Oh, I mean, I got to go with Kopitar right now. And I'm not a homer. You know, just he, without him, I don't know where the Kings would be. They definitely wouldn't be at the top of the food chain. And, you know, if you want a non-King MVP, it's a lot of choices. Got to go with some goalies. I mean, you know. This is crazy, but Yager in Florida is like,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, Yager's captain, your selection.
Well, I'm not a huge fan, but I got to go Pete Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely.
I was gonna have to say Patrick Kane or just almost a. I think Patrick Kane's the MVP of the league right now. Although I will say, just as a personal, not a personal, but just as someone who's kind of turning it around, maybe just a heartfelt give it to Ovechkin. Just how fast the Capitals are kind of letting Kunetsen take some shine off of him and letting Backstrom and just kind of being the team guy. I think he's really, I mean, the Capitals are the only team in the East, I think, right now that you could say with a straight face you'd put in the, you know, is the Blackhawks, Kings, or the Capitals right now unless something changes.
And I hate to be a homer on this, but I would almost put Luch in there because he's, to me, the guy who's made the biggest difference to a team.
He's definitely made a big.
Well, speaking of differences, you're Rookie of the Year so far.
Rookie of the Year. Boy, that's I mean, wow, I don't, I oh boy, get back to me on that one.
Okay, Frazier. We know your pick, sir.
I don't know. Well, you know who I'm going to pick. I mean, it could be the Duke. It could be Max. It could be Perrin, or however you say his name. But I'm going with my boy.
Come on, Dylan Larkin. Yep. I would say I, as much as I love the bread man Panarin, he's in yeast mode. We talked about that. The guy's the best joke. Our Twitter fans are the best.
Yeah.
As much as I love Panarin, as much as he scorched the Penguins, it's not an anti. Oh, you guys killed the Penguins. Someone tweeted me like, yeah, the World Wildlife Fund is after Panarin because all he does is kill the Penguins. A great joke. Another great joke. As much as I think Panarin, he's on the same line as Patty Kane. So I'm going to give it to Dylan Larkin, who's doing it. I mean, your boy Gustav is asleep at the wheel.
I don't know what happened to Gustav.
Tatar is just waking up a little bit. Z's had a good year, but not amazing. The Witch has played good, but not amazing. He's carrying the Dylan Larkin. Carrying the
and
load.
You watch in the future, he's going to be the best.
He's great. I mean, Paul, I don't. Is Duclair a rookie?
Yeah, we'll give it to him. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. I don't think he played 40 games last year with the Rangers, right? Or 30, whatever you need to.
I mean, I don't know if he'll get Rookie of the Year, but I love the two they have, him and Domi.
Yeah, great. It's great.
Okay.
But Larkin, so you can't go wrong.
No, love the Duke, though. Love the Duke.
He's going to be.
Love the Duke. He's going to be great.
Yeah. Okay, you're Norris.
I'm a little.
You're allowed to be a homer on this one. I think it's a given.
I mean, you know, the East Coast fans are going to be like, oh, this guy's just ruining for everything L.A., but I doubt he's just all world.
Well, when you're in first place by 10 games, you're allowed to have a couple guys on the All-Star team. You're allowed to pick some guys for postseason awards.
I mean, Doughty's my choice. I'm a huge Shea Weber guy.
Shea Weber's
Subban
great. Yeah.
is amazing, but Doughty, 30 minutes a game. He's made some great defensive plays this year. So that's my pick.
Go ahead, sir.
D. Doughty.
I think it's across the board a clean sweep. I think Doughty's as much as I love PK Subban, he hasn't scored one goal in like 30 games, but he's still great. Shea Weber, actually, they're talking about he's had a good season, but they've actually talked about like him. Maybe they may move him because how great Yossi's been playing and other guys. So you know, but Weber has a cannon. And your guy Duncan Keith has played amazing.
Yeah,
Duncan Keith has played amazing
always
this season.
Great.
But I'm going Doughty. And then for your Vezinen, for your goaltender, who do you? I'll go first on that one. I think Holtby has been absolutely outstanding. And that's why another reason why Washington is head and shoulders the best team in the East, in my opinion. Captain, your goaltender.
Boy, I sound like a homer. I'm going with Quickie.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
with Quickie because not only has he had a great year, he's the most entertaining goalie.
Well, he can do the splits like a porn star.
Yeah, I mean, this guy. He's like early David Lee Roth. Jumping off the drum riser.
Yeah, now David Lee Roth does like these mid-level shin kicks.
Yeah.
It's
looks like Rogie Vachon.
Yeah, it's like, it's like not pretty to see. But that's my choice, too. And once again, I'm not...
Right.
I'm really not a homer, but Quick is just, you know, he doesn't get credit, but he's won two cups, man. And
guy's amazing.
Okay, now since you're here, who would you think? No, I'm gonna take our two guys out of it. We're gonna take Bufflin out of it. And we'll take Luch out of it to make you have to think. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? You know, badass.
Well, I mean,
without Luch and without Bufflin, because that's our we blow these guys every week, and they're our two favorites.
It's
so.
Certainly a different era. It's like pick the best fighter, the tough guy.
Just who without Buff or without Luch?
But you really have to think.
That's why we could get anyone. We pick the great Earl Skakel.
I mean, I guess. It's tough. There's really no true elite goons in the league anymore.
Different era.
I mean, I like Clutterbuck and Martin, which is really heartbreaking to mention them and who's the best tough guy in the league. But they start the most shit. Marchand starts the most shit. I'm sorry, stuff.
Beat those two.
Sorry about that. Scott or Sean Thornton still in the league.
He
doesn't have anyone to fight, but I guess he's my favorite tough guy left.
All right. Anyone besides
John Scott?
Go on. Oh, I didn't know I could vote for him.
No, it's funny because you literally named the other two guys, my other two favorite guys to play is Martin and Clutterbuck. That's why I always have a soft spot for the Islanders, because I love their fourth line.
It's just so sad.
And, of course, the great Casey Cizikas.
It is sad from your standpoint because you're the king of the goons. And, it's not – you pointed it out earlier. It's not the same kind of league.
But, I mean, just to say that Matt Martin is probably the best tough guy in the league, and he's a tough dude, but it's like I grew up when, like, when the Kings traded for Gretzky, their first moves were signing Jay Miller from Boston, making sure that McSorley was included in the deal.
Right.
That was a sticking point for the Gretzky trade was we get McSorley.
Yep.
And then they surrounded Gretzky with, the Kings had like five heavyweights. Now there's not five heavyweights in the league.
Speaking of the great Lindy Ruff, remember when Buffalo had like eight heavyweights and they didn't have any scoring?
Lindy Ruff would like give Andrew Peters power play time.
Yeah, I mean he is the great Lindy Ruff, and yeah. I hope to see him. We're doing this on Monday. I'm sure it'll come out earlier than that, but hopefully I see the Stars and the Kings on Tuesday night. I'm gonna try to go. I will be in Fresno the first Thursday of February, February 4th, I believe. Big show, the art festival they're having, doing comedy there. The end of February, I am in Pittsburgh at the Arcade Theater, and then the first week in March, I'm at Headlining Flappers in Burbank, and then the end of March, I am in the New York City area, the All In Tour. Me and Paul Verzi, Captain, your plugs.
Well, the usual. The stomping grounds of Comedy Store Monday night, the Ice House Thursday night in Pasadena, and Friday night, the world-famous Laugh Factory 10 p.m. show. And then the radio show on 95.5 KLOS, Fraser Smith Show, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. Pacific time. Please check it.
It's a great show.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. I had the Rams on. Rams are coming back to L.A. Last night, I had a couple of the old Rams on.
Who did you have on?
Fred Dreyer.
Hunter.
Hunter was on. And Zendejas, the kicker, and Leroy Irving.
I mean, that's like going back to my goon days. I loved that era of the Rams. I mean, I'm a Steeler guy, but just the Youngblood brothers. And
They had some great players, didn't they?
Doug France. And
Dreyer's an interesting interview because he's Hunter.
Oh, I know. I don't get starstruck often, but I was at a bookstore in the Valley once, and I saw him. And like here,
an adult bookstore, I assume.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where do you think?
It's funny you called it a bookstore.
Yeah. Well, it's a bookstore.
But Johnny Bench. No, now Johnny really has to edit.
Oh, really? You can't say that?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
I mean, I'm sorry about saying the S word.
No, we're just kidding. It's fun.
It's great to have you on the show, Earl.
Yeah, please check out Earl. He's so fun. He knows so much about hockey.
He's got a great podcast.
He has a great podcast.
Oh, thank you. Inappropriate Earl.
Inappropriate Earl.
Check it.
And follow him on Twitter. Especially if you kind of like to see comics kind of get made fun of. He does a thing that you have to, I won't give
he's
it away.
The king.
Well, it's you know, there's so many phony people in our business. I'm sure all four of us have dealt with, I call them palmers, people who just shake your hand because they can get something from you. And
Johnny's I deal with two of them every week.
And a third one this week.
Yeah.
So,
you guys are awesome.
Thanks, well, we thank you for joining us. You're awesome, man.
Oh, we really thank you. Really, thanks, Earl. He let us into his beautiful home. We're going to go screw around
with all the
bloody Stu Grimson jerseys.
Yeah. I got a few of them.
I love it.
Everything is stacked in there like a house of cards, so don't touch anything because literally piles of jerseys will fall.
Oh, it used to be all hung up. What happened?
But I've added so many that I have, it's like, dominoes.
Oh, okay. It's such a treat, gentlemen.
Pretty awesome.
It's like our field, Puck Up's field trip, the Earl Skankel's Goon Museum.
But fewer than 10 people. I've lived in this building 15 years. Under 10 people have been in that room.
Wow. Look at that.
Not even girlfriends have gone in that room.
We're gonna raffle off tickets for that next week.
Yeah. People have said, can I pay you to take a tour of the Jersey Room?
Wow. We got to actually have a tour. You could make some dough.
Now I would sell the whole collection.
You're breaking our hearts.
Well, I just don't wear them anymore on stage, so that used to be my thing. I thought, how do I stand? You guys know thousands of comics. I thought, how would I stand out without being too obnoxious? No one really likes hockey and comedy. It'd be an interesting whatever. And ever since Barry Katz told me, you can't wear those things. They have logos on them, you dummy. I'm like, oh. Now I got a room full of jerseys.
Leave it to Barry Katz to put a damper on it.
Well, yeah. what's really funny is I didn't even realize I wear glasses. I'm supposed to wear glasses, and then every now and then in the Penguins, I just wear my Malkin jersey or my old school Captain Ron jersey, like a beginning of hockey, whatever. One night I went down the improv, and I thought I was being you for Halloween. It was. You were for Halloween. I'm like, I'm just wearing my hockey jersey, but I had my glasses on. Like, it was pretty funny.
So identifiable he is.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank him for joining us. Always great to see you, Earl Skakel. Johnny, thank you. Johnny Bench, the great Johnny Bench.
The great Johnny Bench. You know, I have a new nickname for him, too, now, because it's Anthony. I'm going to call him Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. All right.
Tony two times.
There he is.
Here we go.
Got the papers.
And the great Joe Bartnick, we thank you all for joining us. For Fraser Smith here. Thanks for checking in on Puck Off. We are out.